Is News and Talk and WSMNRadio.com.
Good morning, Nashua. It's Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths, sponsored by First Principles on WSMN 1590, Nashua's source for news and talk. And guess what? We're up against the deadline. It's September 30th. Everybody's talking about it. I even got a text from my son this morning who teaches at the U.S. Naval Academy. And apparently things are starting to kick in, and they are asking all civilian professors to stay home. So it's going to be up to those military professors to take up the load. Well, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Not too sure about that. But anyway, at the Naval Academy, they will experience some of the, quote, shutdown. But you know what, folks? It's very, very interesting to me how we keep hearing about all of the shutdown and what does it mean and where will we go and, you know, who is responsible. Well, quite honestly, it's not the way it's presented to us many times. I think we have to start looking at what does all of this mean? Who, you know, we hear back from the Senate. Is he the Senate president? Anyway, Harry Reid, whatever he is. At any rate, not to be disrespectful, but he is the one who sits there and says, well, you know, it's going to be those Republicans that are going to shut down the government, da-da-da-da-da. And it's our President Barack Obama who turns around and says, I will not negotiate. Now, well, that's what you're supposed to do in Washington, D.C. That's what, when you come together and you're representing the people, you're supposed to be bringing forth all of the different aspects of any issue that's being presented to you. And you are supposed to be weighing what is being said. That's why bills that are 600 pages or 1,000 pages are a little bit ridiculous, because they... you know, most of the time when they get into those multiple hundreds of pages, that it's impossible to understand them. You have to do so much cross-referencing. It takes a long time to go in and find that out. So how can they be reading these bills that they're addressing if they don't have the time? And getting them, as Rand Paul did, the one little video clip we saw of him standing before the Senate and saying, look, I just got this bill. It's 600 pages long. It just arrived on my desk an hour ago, and we are supposed to consider it right now. That's crazy. That is not how Washington is supposed to operate. So, what does it mean when, you know, our Senate is refusing to really in any way cooperate? So, They've now done part of their job, which they've been forced to because you, the American people, have been raising the heat, so to speak, by calling your representatives and your senators and asking them to do something, to not just sit back, to realize that their decisions are impacting us. And, oh, by the way, you shouldn't be being excused from any of it or exempted from any of it. It's absolutely ludicrous that Congress will not be impacted by any of Obamacare, or you know, and then they won't even allow us to put it off for a year, like our congressmen want to put it off for a year. That makes a lot of sense, since a lot of the rules and the regulations have not yet been written. But our senators are saying no, and some of the senators are saying no. The Democratic-controlled Senate is saying no. We don't want to do it that way. We want to do it our way, and if you don't do it our way, we're going to shut the government down. So what does it mean to really shut down the government on tomorrow, October 1st? Will it really not operate? Will everybody just stay home and there won't be any services, anything going on? Well, no. you know, there's a great article in the Wall Street Journal that came out a week and a half ago or something about Ben by Damian Paletta, and he said the government will not shut down. Even if Congress does not pass a bill by September 30th, President Barack Obama will still live in the White House. In other words, he'll still have his people there to help him do his everyday duties. His secretary, you know, all of those aides, all of those people in the kitchen that are cooking the meals, the housekeepers, the people that are there to help write letters, all of those things are still going to go on. The mail will still be delivered. Air traffic controllers and meat inspectors will still show up for work. You know, and the Social Security checks will continue to go out. The military will still continue to do what they need to do. And what we really don't understand is that there are really two basic kinds of government spending. One is that mandatory spending that is really essential, as if we were to put our country on autopilot. But then those other things, you know, so your Social Security benefits and your Medicare benefits are those things that are mandatory that will continue to be done. But discretionary spending money is that is approved by Congress every year, whether or not it goes through. Obamacare at this point is still discretionary. It's discretionary spending that gets hit during this quote shutdown of government. Although there's always provisions in that law that allow the government to continue protecting itself. So our military will still be in force. Our border security will still be in force. But there are other duties, and those other duties that are considered essential will continue to go on. It's the other things that won't be. Things like our national parks and so forth like that. So is it going to be painful? Well, stop and think about it. If you just found out that Dad lost his job and we've now had to restrict what we're going to spend our money on, is that painful? Yes. If you decide you're going to go on a budget and not spend more than you bring in each month, and so that means there's a lot of those little discretionary spending. It's not putting a roof over my head. It's not putting food on my table. It's not putting gas in the car so I can go to work. It's not making sure that I have the right clothing for my work, if you have to have a uniform, etc. So, you know, those are the things that are essential that we have to pay for. Those things have to be paid for. So that's the first thing that you consider in a budget. And then the rest of those things are those things that you decide that you're not going to do. You're not going to go out and have a cup of coffee at Starbucks. You're not going to go on a vacation this month. You may not go buy that new dress or that new suit, or if you're a guy, those new pair of pants. You may not go buy those new sneakers. You may have to do with what you have already. And that's what we're going to have to do when they shut down the government tomorrow. And if that happens, the sky, you know, the sun is still going to rise. The sky is still going to be over us. And we don't have to panic. But what will happen is we'll find out there's a lot of things that we don't have to spend our money on. And maybe we'll reduce the size of government and limit the size it's supposed to be, just like our Constitution says that it's supposed to be. Now, the other thing that they're on about is raising that debt ceiling, and I'm not so sure that that's a good idea, but it is one of their considerations. And you may have heard about the continuing resolution, and what it is basically, the CR, continuing resolution, is it's sort of the stopgap, and it would fund those essential spend. It's the spending part of the budget, and it's the appropriations part. And what this CR, the continuing resolution, would do would be fund everything in the government from October 1st through December 15th. However, the House said, we don't want to put Obamacare in there. We're not going to fund it. The Senate sent it back and said, we're putting it back in. So now they have to go to a conference committee in order to make a decision what they're going to keep and what they're not going to keep. So it's up to us, the people. We, the people, must make our voices be heard. We need to call our congressional delegation. We need to let both our senators and our congresspeople know what it is we expect of them. And if we don't get on the phone and we don't call them and let them know what it is that we expect of them, then who's to blame when we don't find out what in the world they're doing with our money, or we're not happy with what they're doing with our money? So if you want to call your congressperson, you can call our senators. Senator Ayotte is at 202-224-3324. Senator Jean Shaheen is at 202-224-2841. And then I've got an old list, doggone it, that has, I don't have Carol Shea Porter's number on it or Annie Custer's, but I will get them for you, because we, the people, must let our voices be heard if we're to see anything change. And we need to let them know how much it's impacting the people in New Hampshire. Obamacare is far, far reaching, more so than we ever imagined. You know, you think that somebody's going to suffer, maybe it won't be me, but now we're finding out that our hospitals, our major hospitals, won't be on there. So that you, even though you were told that you would be able to choose your doctor, if your doctor works for one of those hospitals, you can't choose your doctor. It's an extremely complex bill. And as I said earlier, it hasn't even finished being written yet. And the people are the ones that are suffering. And you know what? Stop and think about this. This is the Affordable Health Care Act is supposed to make it so that everyone can buy insurance. Everyone. And yet what we're saying is that everybody has to buy insurance. Well, that's removing your freedom and my freedom on this whole scenario. What about if I'm one of those people that I don't trust insurance companies? And so I don't like necessarily what I see going on between when I watch and see how other people are handled. So I decide I'm going to save my money and not buy health insurance. I may buy a catastrophic type insurance policy, much like I do with my car when I buy that insurance policy, that if I happen to end up in an accident, that if it gets to be too much, that I'm far above my deductible, that I will ask the insurance company to help me out. So if I decide I want to put my money over on the side or in a bank, or what if I'm part of one of those co-op type organizations where everybody pays a little each month and they send their checks to someone who is in need to pay for their medical degrees. What about those people that are pulling their money together? Under Obamacare, we will all be penalized for being in that. We will have a higher tax rate. That's why they're employing all 15,000 employees in the Internal Revenue Service, which, by the way, I wonder if it continues after the shutdown. Is it really essential personnel? If the IRS didn't work, maybe it would prove to us that we could get by without them, and maybe we could go to that simplified tax form, like a flat tax or a fair tax, where everybody pays a little bit into the system, and we get rid of all of the rules and regulations that give us all these loopholes and make us feel like it's unfair that somebody gets a break and we don't get that break. What about that? What do you think about that? That would be an interesting scenario to have happen if the IRS didn't get paid. Well, you know, so if you decide you're not going to buy health insurance, you're going to get penalized. I said that, didn't I? And with this, there's also a mandate. You have to have buy your insurance from this exchange. Well, the problem with this exchange is that in New Hampshire, we only have one insurance company that's going to participate. And how do we now get choice out of that? It's been very interesting. What I do see happening out there is that gradually, first of all, we're no longer full-time employees. We're now being cut back so we can fall under the 29 hours. And if you're already underemployed, that doesn't help you meet the goals of putting food on your table and a roof over your head. The other thing that I see happening is that gradually the benefit package at your employer is now shrinking, and it's getting smaller and smaller, and your health care choices are getting smaller and smaller. Oh, and by the way, the other thing that's in all of this, guess what? You have to go sign up for health care insurance, Obamacare insurance, online. Well, how do you do that when all the libraries are closed because of the shutdown? I guess maybe you can't participate there, which may be a good thing because that means that they can't collect that information on you to store in that building that they're building out in the middle of Utah. So maybe a shutdown would be a really good thing. It might help us in the long run. They won't be able to continue to, I wonder if they'll be able to continue to demand that our school systems under Common Core implement all of those computers to collect all of that information on your child while they're taking that mandatory test online to basically make this portfolio for them. Maybe a shutdown might not be such a bad thing for us. Maybe it'd be a big help. We certainly could find a whole lot of good things that might happen as a result on it. That's for sure. Well, now, so if you're interested in calling your senators at any rate and asking them to make sure that they get their voices heard on this and make sure that they stay strong on not allowing Obamacare to go forward, and if at the very, very, very minimum, putting it off for a year until all of these, we can see more and more about what's in it. You know, rushing everything through. Anytime you try to rush something through, do you ever see that sign that said the more rushed I get or the hurrier I get, the more behind I get? That might be part of the problem there too, because then other things start falling off or getting caught up and being overlooked, and then here we are, we're having to write yet another bill to address yet another problem, when maybe if they just sort of backed down and slowed down, they might look at a lot more of these things and start to analyze them, and maybe, just maybe, we might be better off as in the long run. It is not a bad thing, and Obamacare is really, really scary. So again, your senator's numbers are 202-224-3324 for Senator Ayotte, and 202-224-2841 for Senator Shaheen, and I will look up those other two before the end of the hour. But at any rate, we're getting ready to have an update on where the charter schools are in the state of New Hampshire. Matt Southerton, who is with the and I forgot what the name of that organization is. It's not right sitting in front of me. And so that is one of those things that I keep, I'm supposed to have that in front of my face so I don't forget it. And then I turn around and manage not to have it sitting here, and I don't know where it went. That's really very, very bad. But Matt Southerton has been working with the State Department of Education to oversee our charter schools and help us through this fiasco that happened last year when several of the Department of Education, the state school board, decided that they weren't going to take care of our needs, our charter schools, their new charter schools that are getting started, and they were putting them on the list to be examined. Their applications would be examined, and then they would be told whether or not there was money for them to be able to, matching money from the state, to be able to start their school and get started. And a lot of that got put on hold because of a misinterpretation of the rules and the law that was passed and the appropriations bill that was passed by our state legislature. So we are getting ready to call Matt Southerton, and he will be joining us in a few moments, and he will tell us an update on just where that is, what has happened in the process. In the meantime, I'm going to also try to see if I can't find those two congresspeople for you and let you know what's going on there. Matt's on the phone with us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Karen. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm having a little bit of a unorganized morning this morning. Don't ask me why. Well, I don't know. I think Obamacare has really gone to my brain.
I think it's overshadowing everything this week, definitely.
And then this idea that we're going to shut down everything sort of sits there, and I keep saying, wait a minute, we're not shutting down everything. Everybody's going to be okay.
Exactly.
But we've got to figure out what this new normal is, and so I also want to know, I know that you've been working and had been working very, very hard on the charter school movement.
We have.
And that you've were put on hold for a little while, and that you were scrambling. But things are seeming to be ironing out a little bit. Would you give us a little bit of an update on what's going on there?
Absolutely. Over the last year, there was a lot of drama involved as people sort of postured in the legislature prior to the budget negotiations. But we're really excited that now the State Board of Education has authorized four new charter schools, and those will be opening next year around the state.
Good. So are we back on track, so to speak?
You know, I think we are. We just entered year four of the five-year grant, and the state received an additional $2.7 million to open new public charter schools. And then next year, the final year of the grant, we'll receive about another $2.4
million. Now, the state has actually gotten this check, and it's come in. I'm kind of wondering.
Yeah, it goes directly to the Department of Education, and then they encumber the money and, they'll send it out to the newly authorized charter schools.
Right. Now, so that's exciting. Now, do you have other applications that are online as well?
We actually do. I believe that at least two more have been filed with the department, with the NH Department of Education, and there are probably another three or four groups that are looking into it, trying to decide whether a charter school in the area would be good for them.
Okay. Now, the fact that we've got this money in the state, I hope. Anyway, I'm just a little hesitant because they've got these continuing resolutions that keep going on, and I'm wondering, was that money the money that was in there for the 30th of September, or is it the money that we're supposed to be hoping for after the 1st of October?
I believe that that money was available October 1st,
okay.
2013.
Okay.
So hopefully it's in the bank, and the federal government won't say, well, you know, we need that back.
Right, right, right. So tell us a little bit about some of these, or what I wanted to know is the next step. So these schools have been told that they can now open and that they're going to get their grant money to go forward with this. What's their next step?
Well, you know, every group is putting together their board of trustees, and each group is working diligently to really meet those requirements of the federal grant and then access that federal funding.
Okay.
And over the next probably 9 months, they'll be, you know, working on their curriculum, hiring teachers. And I think that's one benefit of the federal grant is that these hundreds of thousands of dollars really go into your communities around the state.
And the children are going to benefit in the long run.
Absolutely. You know, charter schools probably, they only represent a little under 2% of public school enrollment in the state, but it is a choice program, and that's what I think I love most about it.
Right. Well, I love anything that gives a parent another choice on how to handle children, because even in the same family, as I found out, no two kids are the same. They're...
Absolutely. You know, there's no longer really a one-size-fits-all approach. I don't think it works for all students.
No, it doesn't. And we're all individuals in reality and not supposed to be these little, what do they call them? I'm thinking like a little robot type person.
Pressed out in the factory.
Exactly.
And we'll all take the same track.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, hard when you have a population of 330 million. I think that's also why I like the tax credit idea too, because that's just another option for students.
Yes. Yes, and it's putting it in the hands of the parents so that they can say, you know, I'm observing this at my child at home, and I'm thinking that maybe this would be another alternative. Maybe they're not doing real well in public school, or maybe not even doing well in private school, and I want to try something.